Welcome to Red Alert Radio. Grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, ko Julie Ferry tukuingua, ko maunga oika te maunga, ko wairau te awa, ko waitamata te whanga. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name's Julie Ferry, and I'm the Deputy Chair of the Pukitāpapa Local Board, one of five Roskill Community Voice Reps on that board of Auckland Council, and I'm part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau. I have a regular spot here on Red Alert Radio, and I'm really keen to get your feedback. You can find me easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Julie Ferry. That's spelled a bit strange, F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. We also have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. If you search for Red Alert Radio AKL, you should find us. We put up links to these shows as podcasts once they're up online, as well as other bits of useful news relevant to the topics we cover. You might hear me mentioned today. Oh, we'll put that up on the Facebook page, and that's where you'll find that link in due course. You can also get all our past shows on the Red Alert Radio archive on planetaudio.org.nz. Now today, my guest is Glenda Fryer, who wears many hats, but is today here as a City Vision candidate for the N-Trust elections, which are happening in October. We'll talk about what N-Trust is, what the big issues are in relation to the power loans that they indirectly control through their 75% shareholding in Vector and the upcoming election. Thanks for coming on today, Glenda.
My pleasure.
Now, first up, what is N-Trust? Most people won't have heard of it.
No, they won't have. But some of the older timers might have heard of the Auckland Electric Power Board, so which was government-owned. But in 1993, it was essentially privatised and corporatised. But what happened in Auckland happened in a couple of other places, but it was quite unusual. So basically, the consumers of the old Auckland City Council area, the old Manukau City Council area, and part of Papakura and Franklin, the consumers actually own the power lines. And the community organisation or company, if you like, that owns them is called N-Trust. It used to be called the Auckland Electricity Consumer Trust until about a year or a couple of years ago. So they've rebranded, which has made it even more confusing because people did know it as the Auckland Energy Consumer Trust from 1993 until a year or so ago.
And so, I mean, it sounds like it's reasonably unusual to have an elected trust that effectively controls the power lines. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's correct. So it happened all around the country, but there's only half a dozen, a small handful, that's still where consumers through a trust actually own the power lines. In other places like the west of Auckland, the north shore of Auckland, they were sold. So the account owners owned them and they promptly sold them. So that didn't happen in the old Auckland and Manukau City through the Auckland Energy Consumers Trust. We still own them.
Okay. And so This is where personally I start to get a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. So I'm keen to understand this and explain it. So N-Trust doesn't actually run the power lines. Vector does.
Correct.
So what's the relationship there?
So N-Trust holds 75. It used to be 100% of the power lines, but now it's 75% of the power lines for consumers. So they actually own the 75% of Vector, and
right,
they therefore are the advocates, if you like, for all us consumers as to what happens on the Vector board. They also appoint the they have two directors on the board themselves, and they are part of the appointment process to appoint the Vector board, who's the director, who's the chairperson, etc.
Okay, and so people tend to think of their power company being like Meridian or Mercury or whoever.
They're the generators. They're the generating power company. So Vector's just the lines company, so the power lines that come into your home. So that's the difference. But it is confusing, yes. And it is quite a confusing election too. So just in very simple terms, and why this election is so important, is that people will get, if they have the power line, they will get $350 a year because they do own the power lines.
So it's a dividend.
It's the dividend. So that $350 they get either into their bank account or through a cheque through the mail to over 300,000 power line holders. That actually comes because they own the power line. So that's a really important to very many families in our communities. Some of the older people, it might be two or three or more months worth of power, and certainly to the big families, it's certainly a couple of months power to them. So that's why it's really important that we retain the trust, why we retain the 75%. And that's one of the big issues in this election campaign, is the long-standing chairman, Michael Stiassny, who's been the chairman for 16 years of Vector. He has just come out in the last few weeks and said that Entrust plan to sell down 25% of the shares, which is a sell down of our community asset, and also puts at risk the $350 that families get through their dividend every year.
So let me get this right. So in 1993, then it's called Entrust now, but
the Auckland Energy Consumer Trust.
Yeah, that owned 100% of Vector. And then at some point,
2005. So what happened in 2005 was, so just let me be clear, the citizens, what used to be called the citizens and ratepayers, a lot of people know them as CNR, they're now communities and residents.
Yeah.
It's the sort of National Party Act team.
Yeah.
They have controlled the trust since 1993.
Right. So they've won the election.
They've won the election each time.
Yeah.
And what happened in 2005, without even telling anyone, they just they must have been planning it for a while, but they decided to sell down 25% of the shares without talking to the people that they represent. You know, us, the people that have the power accounts. So just out of the blue, they did that. So while the present chairman of the trust totally denies they're intending to sell down 25%, they totally denied it in 2005 as well.
Right.
So the long-standing, well-respected chair of Vector, Michael Stiassny, who, by the way, is also the chair of NZTA. You know, so he's a long-standing director, member of the Directors Institute, you know. He has said that he understands and fears that that's exactly what the trust will do after the election.
So why would you do that? Why? Because obviously it reduces the dividend, but also it reduces democratic control.
Yes. So, you know, it hasn't been explained. In fact, it's been denied. So while they continue to deny that's going to happen, that's the present Entrust trustees, while they deny, they're not willing to explain why it's going to happen. We'll find out after the election, unless you elect a City Vision team to be your Entrust trustees.
And so City Vision has a policy of not selling public assets, is that right?
So we are opposing any proposal to sell down the Entrust 75% shareholding in Vector, or cut or remove the dividend that the alliance holders receive. And we're on top of that, we'll actually be appointing directors that more accurately reflect our communities. At the moment, we don't believe they do. The directors all look like any directors of any other, you know, mainly white male. There's a few females in there. So we're going to be appointing directors that more directly reflect our communities of Auckland.
And obviously, with a democratic control,
yes,
that's what you would expect.
And accountable. I don't believe the present Entrust trustees are accountable to it, to the lines holders.
Well, I guess, you know, the fact that so few people know about interest in the election, and other than the fact that they get this money in their bank account once a year, they're probably completely unaware of it. That suggests a lack of accountability and transparency.
Absolutely. And so, you know, City Vision certainly intends to if it's in a majority, make some changes. We want to make sure that Vector does remain profitable. We want to make Auckland's electricity supply more resilient. We want to deal with the rapidly changing competitive environment. We want to accelerate the current undergrounding program and ensure our interests as investors, consumers and the community can be properly balanced. So, you know, we think that the trust, the present trust, hasn't looked to the future and isn't looking after a home base now. And in fact, for those people that read the business sections of the Herald or the NBR or even Stuff, which is our central leader, Western, you know, leader, etc., they'll see there's huge fights going on at the moment with the interest directors.
So hang on, this is the ones that are all on the same.
Yes, so these are the CNR
ones.
Okay, so if you look at the National Business Review, one of their headlines just a couple of weeks ago, interest squabbling focuses attention on Vector stake. So they're fighting amongst themselves. One, the female, the only female trustee, is accusing her fellow trustees of bullying. Bullying by the trust chairman. And they're also, one of the trustees is taking another one to court because when he put his nomination in, he said he lived in Epsom, when in reality it appears he lived outside the entrust area, so wasn't entitled to be on the trust for the last 3 years. So one of the other trustees is actually taking him through court, through the court system, the High Court. So not as all... All is not well with the CNR. I think they've been there too long. They've sort of seen it as a sinecure rather than something that's actually really important to our communities. They're fighting amongst themselves and they're not giving security to us.
So a little bit more on that security of supply. And you mentioned before about having a resilient network. And I think probably a lot of people were reasonably unaware again of Vector and the impact that the lines have until the storms in April. And, you know, where we had massive areas lose power, some people for up to 10 days.
Yes.
So what impact did, you know, what's the involvement of Vector and of Entrust in that kind of thing?
So Vector says that 40% of the Auckland Power network basically went down in 15 minutes. Some came.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's huge. Because of the storms, they hadn't seen them coming, they hadn't prepared. And certainly we heard stories of, you know, a few days later, someone coming up with torches and batteries. Well, that's not good enough. People rely on their, you know, their heaters, their computers, their which can't be fired up. So batteries, you know, won't make our computers and our cell phones go.
True.
And so what happened was, you know, they were just totally unprepared. They didn't issue any statements. In fact, it was the Auckland City Council and Auckland Council and the community groups that actually came to the fore and started to go around knocking on doors to make sure people were safe in their homes. So one of my big issues, and this is why I'm campaigning on more undergrounding for the power line. So all the areas where the power lines were undergrounded had no problems at all.
Right.
So it's only where there were the overhead lines. So those are the big black lines that are on the power poles in the roads. So, and many areas in the old Auckland City Council and Manukau do still have the power lines. I'm not sure of what percentage, but those are the lines that were affected by the storms directly or by trees falling on them during the storms. And so if those areas were undergrounded, then, you know, we would be safe from those sort of storms. And certainly with global warming, those are only going to happen more frequently. And so our power lines are under jeopardy, and we have a failure of security of supply. So I'm campaigning for more undergrounding. So when 25% of the shares were sold in 2005, there was a guarantee that $10.5 million was to be spent on undergrounding.
Right.
that hasn't been spent. Some people might have seen the lovely lights on the Harbour Bridge. They were spent instead of undergrounding. So Vector failed to even expend the $10.5 million they had, and I believe that's way too little, but they haven't even spent the money that they have allocated for undergrounding. Now, there's a variety of excuses, but the bottom of the story is that 40% of our families, where there are power lines in the streets, were without a power for up to 10 days because Vector hasn't planned for the future.
And so obviously that then comes back to Entrust, because yes, Entrust controls Vector.
Indeed.
So I guess again showing the importance of whoever gets elected to Entrust,
yes,
and then has the responsibility to make sure Vector does do that future planning, does honour their commitments around undergrounding.
Yes.
Yeah, and just to clarify a bit, because there might be a few people from my neck of the woods listening, and this is different undergrounding from the big high voltage lines. They are controlled by Transpower.
Yes.
So just to confuse matters a little bit more, but we won't be talking about that today.
Good.
But when Glenda and I are talking about undergrounding here, we're talking about the lines that are on your streets.
Yes, indeed.
We're not talking about the big pylon lines, okay?
Yes, and for me, how it came to pass, so I represent as a local board member the area of Albert Eden, and when Sandringham Town Centre was done up about 10 years ago, they undergrounded the lines in the town centre, but also the surrounding streets.
Yeah.
So we've just done up Mount Albert, and we actually wanted that to happen with Mount Albert too, because there's a lot of disruption when you're doing up a town centre, and many would say in Mount Albert there's still a lot of disruption, but one of the positives for that local community that put up the disruption with the disruption can be the undergrounding of their power lines.
Yeah.
Well, Vector wouldn't do that, and we're actually about to look at Point Shep to upgrade that over the next few years too, and we wanted to secure upgrounding of the lines around Point Shep too, and it was only then that we found out, when media found out, I didn't even find out, media found out that they hadn't spent the money they had.
So they don't have an undergrounding program?
Well, they do.
Because people want it.
The people want it, so they've got it. So at the moment, the reason they give when asked, well, they weren't asked, but we found out during this whole process that one of the issues they've got is that Chorus, they have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
You know, with all so it's
with
silly
fibre.
So Chorus actually, because of all the cell tower technologies and other technologies, they actually didn't want to join up with Vector. So to do the undergrounding in certain areas, well, that's the reason that Vector's giving us as to why there's been less undergrounding. They said, well, all the different organisations, like Chorus didn't want to be, didn't come into the party. So, you know, so there's obviously a variety of reasons, but instead of just not spending the money or spending it on something else, they should have been full steam ahead and trying to get all that resolved. And I don't believe they've done that. I don't believe that they've really tried to do that as hard as they could have. And if they hadn't spent the money, they should have saved it so that when they did have alignment, they could then basically do what they
had
done.
I know that also with the Dominion Road project, which obviously crosses both of our areas, there was, I think, if I remember correctly, it's about 1.5 kilometres, which is not underground. Well, there was no plan to underground it, and I remember Auckland Transport had approached Vector to say, look, come on, guys, there's, you know, it's 11 kilometres or whatever it is of road. Got this little bit that's not undergrounded now and isn't going to be undergrounded. Can we just can we just get across the line with this?
Yeah.
No pun intended. And Vector were just like, oh no, we couldn't possibly do that.
Yeah.
And it's just that lack of flexibility, that lack of responsiveness to what the community really wants.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think the trust has been taken out of Entrust.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, they've rebranded themselves, hopefully to project a personification of trust, but I don't believe the community has that trust anymore. It doesn't have the trust over what they did during the power outages and their role in causing those power outages through not undergrounding.
So let's turn a little bit to your own campaign to be on Entrust. So why are you standing?
So I'm standing because I've always had an interest in power supply.
Yep.
I actually stood three times in the 1970s
right.
for the old Auckland Electric Power Board and was the yep. highest polling unsuccessful candidate a couple of those times.
So you want to break the curse?
I want to finally get on there. I also stood 6 years ago and was the highest polling unsuccessful candidate. So we in the 70s saw it as a local government issue.
Yeah.
And it was. There were 12 people elected onto the old Auckland Electric Power Board. And, I stood at the same time when Helen Clark and David Longley and Margaret Wilson all stood for the City Council. I stood for the City Council and the Power Board. Of course, yep. we all lost, unfortunately, but that didn't mean
but
we...
But you've all got on to great things. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've, had a passion to, to represent consumers and not just... and change the status quo, both in local politics and to make it better for our communities.
And so tell me about the other candidates on the City Vision ticket, because I know you're the only woman.
I am.
But there are some really quite interesting people who are standing.
There are. So the leader of our ticket is Peter Neilson. Some might remember him. He was
a cabinet minister, wasn't he?
He was a cabinet minister in the Longy government.
Right.
So he was in Parliament for 9 years and a cabinet minister. But since he left Parliament, he has been working as an international electricity consultant.
So oh,
he's
wow.
He's been advising various governments around the world. He lives, his wife Megan's a librarian. They've got a family and they live now, he was brought up in Glendowie, but they live in Ellerslie now.
Yep.
So he's leading our ticket really, really amazingly well. Rick Leckinger, who in fact I understand is involved with this radio station.
He's on the board for Planet FM.
Yes, so, but his specialty is sort of integrating renewables. He's a former ministerial advisor on energy efficiency. So he's really keen in taking a lead on the renewable aspects. I mean, people are looking at solar power.
Yep.
You know, we're going to become more reliant on electric cars and what have you.
Yeah.
So he's looking at that probably properly being dealt with through our lines company system, which it isn't at the moment.
And there's that aspect too of whether the grid becomes more distributed,
yes.
if people can both be generators and users.
Which is what's happened all around the world, Auckland, New Zealand and Auckland in particular don't really seem to have got with the program.
Yeah, the framework's not really there.
That's correct. One other one is Simon Mitchell. So he's a barrister working in Auckland. He's a former partner in a city law firm and he's... got three kids, and he's the deputy chair of the Mount Albert Grammar School Board. So he's very much working in the community with his family.
And he used to be on the Albert Eden local board.
He did indeed. So he's long
it's
had
path to greatness.
He's long had an interest in. He stood a couple of times before. So he wants to really put the trust back. And in trust with the City Vision team. And Robert Reed, who has just retired as General Secretary of First Union, one of New Zealand's largest unions, so a lot of workers in the South Auckland area will know of him. So again, he's standing because he's determined that to keep our assets, to not hock off even more assets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're a very united team trying we're campaigning, so we've started an online petition to basically ask for an assurance from the present trustees and the chair of the trust that they're not going to sell our lines. So he's made a statement. But the statement he's made is, you could actually put holes through.
It's a bit equivocal, isn't it?
It is equivocal. It might sound unequivocal, but the reality is you could put holes through it. So we're trying to pin him down through a petition. So if he really if he says he's not selling, we need to know that. Because certainly the chairman of Vector thinks he's not telling the full truth on this.
So, I mean, it seems to me this is a really big issue for the election. It's the fabric of Entrust itself is, you know, does it maintain a 75% or does it potentially go to 50%, which is, you know,
huge,
a big shift.
Yes. And of course, you know, there's a whole heap of issues because how the trust deed was originally written back in 1993, that if that the trust itself will go out of existence in about 50 years, and it's actually Auckland Council that will get all the assets that are left. So the more the sell down, the more the assets are gone, so that no one will inherit them.
So who buys them?
People from all over the world. They're on the share market. So right. they're a listed company on the share market.
Yeah. So there's no control over that whatsoever.
No, so there isn't.
Might be quite a lot of institutional investors, yes, from the large banks or whatever.
And in fact, there's been an article in The Australian a couple of days ago, so that the Australian investors are very excited about the sell down of Vector. So even though all the denials, The Australian and one of the other Australian financial papers have written articles about trying to get excitement from the Australians to buy up big when 25 more shares are offloaded after the elections. That's if the CNR win.
Wow.
If they don't, that's absolutely off the table. So the Australians will be able to go back and do what they were doing before.
Right. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about the election. This is not one of those ones where you go to the polls at your local school or your library or whatever. How do people actually vote?
So their voting papers will come through the mail. Only one per household. So it's not everyone in the household gets one. So only the power account holder, the person that pays the bill essentially, will get a letter and with the voting papers in them. There are five candidates from City Vision, five from CNR and three independents standing. They tick five and then they send it off in the post. Last election 3 years ago, only 12% of people voted.
Wow.
So there's a big, a lot of people, this is all the misunderstanding or the lack of understanding about the importance. So we're trying to raise the profile so people will know it is about their $350 and it is about keeping their asset to maintain that $350. And, of course, you know, nowadays, perhaps when it first started in 1993, there were post boxes at the end of most streets now.
Yeah.
My daughter, who's 29, says, "Oh, Mum, where can I post the letter? I don't think I've ever posted a letter in my life before." So you've got a younger generation under 30 who not only haven't posted a letter in their lives before, but they actually wouldn't know where to post one if they had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is a bit of a divide between, people who can use that system and people that it's a bit of a mystery to them.
Yeah. And I suppose there's also an opportunity, if elected, to have a look at that system and see how can you improve turnout too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what my youngest daughter said, "Mum, how come it's not online? This is crazy," because she's the power account holder for her one as well. So, you know, this is a case that could. So the 11th of October is when people they'll come through the mail, the voting papers.
Yep.
They have to be in by the 26th. That's when they'll all be finally counted and a provisional result declared.
Right. So it's quite a quick turnaround folks. And given that the post can take a little while, it's probably better to do it sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Find that post box. And for those that are listening that don't know where one is, they're just go to a post office in your town centres that have them still, or in the malls, they usually have a post centre there.
So how can people find out more about this?
Well, so City Vision has its own Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
So please go onto Facebook, look, and we've got our own website as well. So just type in City Vision Entrust and you should be able to get all the information about policies and candidates and the issues.
And it's Entrust with an E, folks, E-N-T-R-U-S-T.
Yes.
So we'll put some links up to that on our Facebook page as well. And really, that's... Thank you so much, Glenda. I feel less mystified than I was before. One of the things I think in the back of my mind is that this is a quite a complex situation. But actually, if people vote on principle,
yes,
you know, you've got a clear choice between Ticket, who are saying we will keep things,
and they're falling apart,
and fix things,
yeah,
and others who are saying, well, we'll just sort of keep going with what we've been doing, and we might, by the way, sneaky sell 25%. So thanks so much, Glenda, for talking with me today, and all the best with this. Thanks for listening, folks. Love to hear your feedback. Check out our Facebook page, Red Alert Radio AKL. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your language.